Hello. My name is Caroline Minks, and I am the creator of Seen and Not Heard, as well as the voice of Bette Klein. Since the release of the show, I have been overwhelmed by the love and support we've received, and so thankful for the conversations that it's sparking. Seen and Not Heard is 6 episodes long, so now that we have released episode 3, we decided to take a brief intermission while we work on the second half of the story. In the meantime, I will be sitting down with several members of the cast and folks behind the scenes to discuss their experiences with hearing loss and audio drama, and probably going off on more than a few tangents in the process. My first chat was with Cole Burkhart, who you will know as the voice of Greer, one of the ASL students Bette meets in the first prologue. He's a force to be reckoned with in the audio drama world, and I will be linking to his information in the show notes. Please check out his work. He does amazing things and is a vital voice in the community. All right. So hi, Cole.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good now that we finally figured this out.
Yeah, we had a little adventure with trying to figure out how to have a video chat with captions, not realizing that only Google Meet does them. Google Hangout.
Apparently, even though it feels like you could do both, it feels like
sure
you
does.
Should be able to do both.
It does, doesn't it? It does feel like that should be an option. But alas, so that is kind of funny that the two of us are struggling with the captions, you know, with accessibility. Mm-hmm. When we're about to talk about our show about hearing loss.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's have you give a little quick, who are you? Where... What do we know you from?
Oh, boy. Hi. Sorry, that's a difficult question. Hey, everyone. My name is Cole Burkhart. I am a voice actor, an audio producer, a writer, a sensitivity consultant. I guess I'm popular on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at King Cole Miter. I have done so much stuff from... voicing in God's Head Incidental, Unplaced. I've been in Vast Horizons. I think that episode is out now, so I can talk about it. I've been in Vast Horizons, in Greater Boston. I've done a lot. Just go check out my website, coleburkhart.card.co, and you'll see everything that I've done.
And the thing that I want to geek about a little bit is Null and Void, because it's so good.
Well, thank you.
I held off on listening to it for a little while because I knew I didn't want to listen to one episode. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have several. And I was so glad that I did that. It's so good.
Our penultimate episode is coming out on Tuesday. I'm very excited. Oh my gosh.
I can't wait for that. It's so
good. Thank you.
So yay. I'm so glad to have you involved with Seen and Not Heard. Because you were actually one of the first people who, when I first got involved with audio drama in the first place, I did not know if I had no idea how I was going to do it as someone with any degree of hearing loss whatsoever, let alone as significant as I have. Mm-hmm. And I asked around. I was like, who do I talk to? Like, is this even a thing? And your name was one of the names I was given. And of course, I remember reaching out like, hi, you don't know me. How do I do this? How does this work? So it's really awesome to have you involved. So I would love to just ask you a little bit about, first of all, how you got into podcasting in the first place. What brought you in?
I actually started in the actual play sector of podcasting. I was a big Taz fan, the Adventure Zone fan. I maybe hopped on during their second arc, not Here There Be Derblins, but the next one after that, and I got real big into the fandom and saw someone was like, hey, we want to start like an actual play podcast, and we started the show that was where I got my start audio editing, Blue Dawn. And from there, it just kind of, I got into Unplaced, which Lavender Ladies and a whole bunch of other stuff. And it kind of just exploded outward from there.
That's very cool. I actually didn't know you did actual play to begin with.
Yeah,
that's very
yeah.
cool.
I really do like editing for actual plays. I think a little bit more than audio dramas, just because it's nice to hear people have fun. I'm like, hear these.
As opposed to when we're just stressing over our bloopers.
Yeah, where everyone's
bloopers.
Just in pain all the time. I love that improvisational aspect of everything.
Yes. Mm. That is really, really fun. And that is something, like, I don't really, I haven't listened to very much actual play because I don't do any kind of tabletop gaming myself. I'd like to, but I just have never had the opportunity. But what I have heard, it does sound like a blast, and it's really cool. I imagine editing for that, because it's so it's not scripted. I imagine that's its own unique challenge. I would love to actually ask you about. Well, let me first ask you about your experience with hearing loss yourself, as much as you want to get into it. And tell us about that.
So I'm not completely deaf. Thankfully, I guess, of course. I have partial hearing loss in both ears. I think my left is about, I think I'm at like 60%. And then I've got probably about 40% in my right ear. It started, so when I was younger, I had to have tubes put in my ears because like the canal didn't form properly. And what we think happened is the doctor took them out a little bit too early, so they didn't, like, completely, like, form in the way they should have. And it was like, I hit high school and then went into college and then just saw a rapid decline through college.
Okay, we had a similar experience then, timeline-wise. Mm-hmm. Not cause. I don't know the cause. It is funny. Do you know any deaf people who actually know the freaking cause?
Unless it's like a, they're like born deaf and it's like a, something like that, but like, no.
This is something that I think is interesting. It seems like most deaf and hard of hearing people I know, the vast majority, we don't really know. We have a lot of theories.
Yeah.
We don't know what actually caused
but
it.
Like, who knows? Sometimes
you have
just like that.
Do you have the experience of hearing people when they find out you don't know what caused it, they start trying to solve the mystery?
Yeah. Yes. What is that? And it's like, oh, well, did you go to too many concerts when you were younger?
Oh,
no, I wasn't allowed to. Like,
oh my god.
Or
that it is so funny. That is universal, I swear.
You don't have to diagnose me. It's okay.
Yes. I was talking to Scotty Moore and we were talking about this exact thing, and the joke was like, oh yeah, I just forgot that time the shark bit off my ears. Like, what do you want from me? Like, I don't. But that's actually why in Seen and Not Heard, I kind of vaguely allude to Bette, like, being sick at some point. But I don't get into any more detail. Like, I'm giving the audience something, and we're not going to dwell on it, because it's not about.
Right. We don't need
why
to.
She lost her. Yeah, but I also didn't want the audience sitting there going like, ooh, are we going to find out? Because that's so annoying. So I was just like, here, you get a little droplet of information and we're moving on. So I would love to ask you about audio editing with hearing loss and what kind of your experience there is, because I feel like you probably have specific methods you use like I do, because I do some sound design too.
So it's all about, I guess, just trying to pace yourself. I also, because God had to nuke me or I'd be too powerful, also have like some audio processing disorders. So I get ear fatigue real fast. So what I'll normally do is when I'm doing like line edits and a basic run through, I will use just a regular, I'm holding it up for the camera, but you guys can't hear it because it's an audio medium. like a regular speaker, I'll do basic line edits through that. And then I have some, very lovely over the ear headphones that I will edit and do sound effects for that. And with that, I have to break it up into chunks. Because with, like, background ambiance, I have that issue of not being able to balance it really well, because if it's too low, I won't be able to hear it, but the audience will definitely be able to. I have to do all of the ambiance on, like, a higher noise level than, like, I normally would for the rest of the sound effects, just so I can tell if it's, like, if it skips or if it, like, there's a really, like, loud thing that takes you out of that, like, that frame of mind, or something like that, like, breaks it up. And then when I'm done with general ambiance, I will go back over again and resound edit, doing all of the, like, sound effects, like dishes breaking or like, footsteps are a little bit easier because you can kind of see the pattern in the sound waves instead of just with, like, something that's very low level and very, like, kind of all one sound wave.
Reading the sound waves is the thing that I do.
Like, yeah, I really like this. I really like the way laughs look.
Yes, they look like little fish skeletons.
Yes.
I love that. They're so cute.
And, like, when I was doing actual plays and stuff, when there was a lot of, like, laughter, you would be able to see and tell your friends' laughs and, like, be able to pick out those sound waves, because they were their own little fishes, or, like, fishtails.
One of the best things that it just kind of delights me is, mm-hmm, if I close a file and then I open it back up later and I can find where I left off because I remember what the line looked like.
Yes.
Like, that's, I always feel like I have superpowers when I do that. Where I just guess right, where I'm like, okay, now I know what the words look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what you were saying with the ambiance. That is and the having to take breaks, because, mm-hmm, I don't have like audio processing, mm-hmm, necessarily, but I do understand that fatigue, because it takes so much energy to listen.
Yes.
When, yeah, it's a lot of work to listen. Hearing is tiring. Right. How do people just do it? I'm exhausted by the end of the day. My ears are on, like, half power, and I'm just like, ugh, like, stop making noise.
Please don't talk to me. Please just never talk to me.
This is where sign language would be really handy, because you don't have to listen, mm-hmm, to it.
Oh my gosh. I need to learn. I'm so bad at it.
I'm trying to. It's hard. Spelling,
but, like,
yeah,
I don't have a head for languages, and so...
Yeah. And I do, but it's a physical language, mm-hmm, which is, takes such a different part of thinking.
Right.
And, like, I'm also arthritic, so actually using my hands for that is a challenge.
Same here.
That's
I have very little cartilage in my bones, and so, mm-hmm, like, it hurts to do that sometimes.
Yeah, and my son uses sign language, mm-hmm, sometimes. He'll use it a lot, but he doesn't necessarily sign, but I'll sign to him.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a heavy signing day, by the end of it, I'm, like, shaking my hands, mm-hmm, out, like, every few minutes, because they just get sore. It's so tired.
It's like building up a muscle.
It is. I mean, it really, mm-hmm, is. That's why when people are really, really fluent, it's so cool to watch.
Because,
mm-hmm, it's like a dance, and it's the same kind of almost, like, muscle memory training and expressiveness, and it's...
Oh, 100%.
Beautiful. And I'm just like, I'm like the little 4-year-olds at their tap class who can't quite get the shuffle step.
I love that idea of, like, sign language as a dance. I've been watching a lot of videos lately of people who are doing sign language, but, like, AAVE, the African American vernacular. And it's such a distinct, like, you can see the beats of like hip hop and like jazz and like the way that predominantly Black dance moves are integrated into that is very cool, and like a lot of isolation, it's very good.
Yeah, the fact that there are different dialects, mm-hmm, of sign language, like there are of any, mm-hmm, language, I think is something that people don't realize,
right.
And it's really important to realize that, because different groups of people are going to sign differently, and it's not necessarily for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily yours.
Just because one person knows American Sign, mm-hmm, Language just doesn't mean they know any other type of sign language.
Oh my god. Yeah. That is always funny to me when someone finds out I know any sign, mm-hmm, and they're like, oh, it's a universal language. It's
nope.
Like, no, that's why it's called American Sign Language specifically. That actually... has made me laugh so many times. People are like, we should all learn sign language so we can talk to anyone no matter where,
like,
we go. Like, you're in for a rough surprise if that's how you think that's gonna work.
That would have been real helpful to if it was just one, but no.
God, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But alas. Well,
that's not how it worked out. Sorry.
God, I wish. So I would love to hear a little bit about just kind of also your experience in general, like maybe from a voice acting perspective too. Approaching that with hearing loss, like, do you have a specific method when you're acting that has to do with your hearing?
Not really. I acted a lot when I was in like elementary and middle school and a little bit more in high school, but I became a jock in high school. So I learned acting as a like as a hearing person. And so I didn't really, especially over like voice calls and things like that, I haven't really needed to adapt in a way that's at least noticeable or something that I could notice.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't had to do, like when I audition for stuff, if I mention that I'm hard of hearing, I'll mention it because sometimes people want to do rehearsals strictly on voice. I'm like, I can, but I cannot guarantee that it's going to go well.
Right. I guess a lot of the, especially a lot of the early stuff in voice acting, we would do read-throughs, but we wouldn't really do, like, recordings and stuff. And so I was able to get the gist of people's replies and talk, like, one-on-one with the director, and then I would be able to go back and do it later. It was only very recently with Godsend Incidental, actually, that we started doing, like, major live on-camera recordings. And even then, we would have to turn our cameras off because everyone had shitty Wi-Fi and couldn't handle four videos going at once.
That'll do it. Yeah.
And so, like, it was... it when we did have cameras, it was good because I could also see, like, and kind of lip-read and things like that. But I was able to control enough things on my end that hearing wasn't an issue because I could turn up someone's volume individually.
Right. And that, you know, that has been a huge help, I will say. I've gotten so used to doing things on camera just in general because of, you know, 2020.
Yeah.
But it has been actually really useful because, like, when I started, I mean, Seen and Not Heard was only the second show I'd ever made. And the first one was a solo show, so I didn't need to meet with anybody. Right. It was just me talking. So doing this one, I was like, there's no way I can do read-throughs. I thought there was no way I could do it because it didn't even really occur to me to do it on a video chat.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But it just sort of didn't – I didn't think about that. And so we've done everything like, I've directed kind of in conversation, but not in real time on a microphone for this one.
I've just gotten so used to – to being only behind a mic that I never really thought about being in front of a camera.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it doesn't even, the visual component was taken out, so it just didn't even occur to me to put it back in.
It's not a visual medium. I don't need to, like, it's whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
We do this shit through Discord. It's okay.
We're all on Discord. We're all in sweatpants. Most of the time when I'm recording these days, it's like sweatpants. Mm-hmm. Binder. Mm-hmm. I look disgusting. I don't care.
Don't look at
I'm
me.
Under a. I'm under don't a sweat. I'm under a sleeping bag. Yeah. Do not perceive me, please. just gross. But I think that's the thing that's really amazing about it is that we were able to create, like, no one would ever know. I don't think. And I've had a couple of people ask, like, oh, did you record this stuff, like, before lockdown? And I'm like, we're not even in the same, we're not in the same country as some of these people, let alone the same state or the same town. Like, most of it's done remotely. The only live recording I did at all was with Evan for the fourth prologue. But even that had to be redone. So that was, you know, we did it, but then the audio got messed up. But it's interesting, I think, when you do things like dialogue placement and sound design, how much you can change it. Because I was thinking about the prologue that you're in, the first one, just zooming in on Audacity to the point where it was like, you know, just zooming in and editing like a tenth of a second, adding a tenth of a second of a pause to something to make it sound like talking and signing at the same time. Not knowing if it would work. No idea if it would work. But a few people picked up on it, which was very exciting. So that part of it was really, really neat. it's, and I'm sure you've had this experience too, where you have that magic moment where you do this one little tweak and it's like,
chef kiss, yes.
It's, oh God, yeah, it's the best feeling, because I will sit there in front of an audio file, like, almost weeping, and then I'll have that one moment, and I'm just like, I am the god of audio. All bow before me. So meanwhile, I run away from footsteps. Yeah. I don't do it. I can't do it. So in general, with podcasting, with any limitations on your hearing, because I think people are surprised when I say that, if they know that I'm hard of hearing, and I say, oh yeah, I do podcasting, mm-hmm. they're like, so how?
It's like a, wait.
Have you had that same response from people?
Well, no, because I don't tell people outside of the podcasting world what I do for
That's fair.
They're like, oh, what do you do? That's what do you do fair. When you're not at work? Oh, you know, watch horror movies, try not to devote my life to a industry where I'm being paid to do a hobby that I enjoy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this is like all I do, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah, same. Like, I'll go home and then just gotta record lines. That's what I was doing all weekend.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, I've got my list mm-hmm. right next to me. I'm looking at it mm-hmm. and I'm like, ooh. I have a lot to do today. but it is funny, I think, mm-hmm. being like, oh yeah, I went into this audio medium. And my ears don't work, yeah. but I'm there.
And like, I'm making do. I love what I'm doing, and I'm making it
exactly.
work.
Exactly.
I know my parents were a little bit surprised.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But I think they are definitely very supportive.
That's good.
And I tend to talk more about the, like, voice acting side of stuff than any of the audio editing, mm-hmm. just because it just goes right over their heads.
Yeah.
What's an Audacity? No, Mom. Yeah.
That's the part that's, like, you talk to other podcasters just, about that, yeah, because yep. then we have our little geek moments.
We'll just stick with explaining what a podcast is, and we'll slowly yeah. work from there.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's kind of funny is when I tell people, like, oh, yeah, I podcast.
And they're like, what?
Oh, you have a chatty show I'm where you're, like,
no.
Conversation.
There's like, more
no,
out there than just
like,
cereal.
Radio plays.
Please.
Oh, my God. There's so much more. Please branch out, I beg.
I'm just like, you know those old radio shows? It's that, but on the internet. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly mm-hmm. how I explain it to people. That's just, it's radio shows. Mm-hmm. And then what's funny is a lot of people are like, oh, like the old timey, they go in expecting that. I'm like, no, it really, I promise, I mean,
advanced.
Those exist.
We've moved past
it's so
that.
Funny. It's like, I just find it very funny because we seem to be able to understand how all these other mediums mm-hmm. have variety.
But the radio, no, it's just music and talking.
Right, which is so funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
But they can understand, like, what an audiobook is. And I'm like, it's that.
Right.
It's that.
Yeah, it is really funny, like, kind of pledging my soul to something, basically, that I have to explain mm-hmm. about once
right.
a week.
Right. And then I always feel embarrassed to do it, because it's not like, I'm not explaining, like, what rocket science is. I'm just like, oh, I speak into a mic for an hour and a half each day, and people...
I say the same thing three times, yep. and then I say yep. the next thing three times, and then I email it to somebody.
And they make me sound smarter than I actually am.
Oh my God, I have made myself laugh listening to myself, either being interviewed or just in a show, and I'm like, oh, they edited out all the uh-huh. parts that just were so uh-huh. bad.
Or, oh, thank they really you. Let me say that, huh?
Oh, yeah. That has happened a couple times. I was like, I don't even remember saying uh-huh. that, and I regret so
yes.
much. Okay, I'm gonna circle back to just sort of general kind of questions mm-hmm. about hard of hearing experience. Because it is really, one thing that I'm really excited about with Seen and Not Heard is that we have, let's see, we have, is it six? Let me see. Me, you, Cassie. Mm-hmm. Adelaide, Eleanor. Yeah, we have five actors who are deaf and hard of hearing, and then one of our consultants is deaf, also culturally deaf. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, in a show that size, having that significant of a number of people actually living this experience is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And so I was thrilled to be able to include that many people and have that kind of percentage of people who will understand and be able to bring mm-hmm. that to the story. And so much of it is about later life hearing loss, which both you and I have experienced. And I do think that that is such a different experience from having it happen early or being born with it, of course, because I was about like 17, 18 mm-hmm. when my hearing first started to go. And then I had another significant loss when I was about 24. Mm-hmm. So I've had like two chunks of time in my life when it's gone down and then real down.
Like, oh no.
Yeah, it really was. I was like, oh, this is a problem, mm-hmm. but I can live with this. And then just, cha-kunk. I was like, well,
I've had days where I will just be going about my day normally. And then all of a sudden I just stop being able to hear in an ear. And I'm like, fuck, is this finally the day where it goes out for good? And then
I've had that happen a few times and it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there at work going, oh my God.
What do I do?
that I'm suddenly not able to hear anymore.
That happened to me at work, mm-hmm. and I occasionally have to use the phone at work, which is always fun. And I was on a call and my left ear just stopped working. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
just gonna switch ears and keep going.
I only ever use my left ear on phones because it's the better one.
Oh, no.
And I was like, damn it. But there are these things that you, I think when you grow up hearing that you keep, like, this is my experience anyway, growing up hearing, I keep thinking I can do certain things and then it's like, oh, right, this is actually not an option for me. Like, I'll start watching a movie. I was watching, I can't remember what I was watching, but it was one of those, like, artsy, quiet movies. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to put the subtitles on. Mm-hmm. I have been watching things with captions since birth, and I forgot to put the subtitles on and didn't realize that there had been dialogue for, like, 15 minutes of the movie.
Oh, no.
I was like, I thought it was just a really quiet movie, so I just, like, went back. So I don't know if you've ever done anything like that, but let me tell you,
I know,
wakes you right
what
up.
Was it? Inception. Inception is one of those movies where they have really, really quiet parts and then really, mm-hmm. really loud parts. So I'll turn up my TV so I can hear the quiet parts, and then a loud part will happen and it'll like shake something off of my wall because I have to have it up so high.
Oh, have you ever done the thing? I know that even hearing people do this, I do. So I do it a lot. When I'm recording, I'll think it's quiet, and then I'll go listen to it, and I was like,
"Ooh,
my kid was outside of my door, like talking to himself for 20 minutes."
That happened to me. I was recording something. It was really important because I had to get it done real fast. And I go back and re-listen to it, and I can hear my cat eating in her fucking bowl.
And it's like, I don't hear it, like, in the moment.
I thought she was locked out of my room, but apparently she got in, and I have to record that entire section again.
Oh, I had to, because this interview is going to come out after episode 3 is out, and that's like a big emotional one, and I had to do this like big emotional, a couple of like really heavy scenes, and it took me 3 times to record that entire episode. I had to do the whole thing.
Three times,
and I had to cry. I was like, there are outtakes of me just going, can I just get one take? Because I thought I had it, and I went back and listened to it, and I could hear, like, people talking right outside the door. Oh, God. But you can't hear it even if you stop talking. I can't hear it until it's on the headphones.
Right. Jeez. Apparently my neighbors like to walk at all times, and I don't hear
You have minotaurs too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a minotaur who lives upstairs.
Yep.
And then I have I think a pro wrestler perhaps next door who likes to announce everything because he just yells everything. And I can hear that without any amplification, so it's a problem. Do you have more of like a high tone or a low tone loss, or is it a little of both?
It's a little of both, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't noticed one over the other.
That's me too, a little bit. And speech is a big is the biggest challenge for me, especially if there's any background noise.
Yeah.
Have you ever, we can ask another audio editing, have you ever mixed up actors because you can't tell the difference between their voices?
No.
I have.
And I think I'm just good with voices and also make sure that I'm labeling everything.
Yeah. Usually I'm good at it, but occasionally I'll be like, is this the wrong person? Or if I'm just listening to a podcast and listening to someone.
There are some, but like, I realized with Null and Void, the two of the characters I chose, they don't have a whole lot of scenes together, but in the scenes that they are together, it's very important. And I'm like, you guys, you kind of sound the same, and I should have.
it's always such a gamble, and that's, like, that was one reason why, because this was my first time ever casting something like this, because I do theater directing, so I'm used to be able to have a visual on the person, which, you know, helps. But that's why I actually did not have any vocal notes in my casting call, because I was like, I just want to hear what people sound like and let them audition for whoever. So I had this massive range of voices for all of the characters, which was really cool. And it allowed me to not just have to choose between, like, 17 people who have kind of a similar vocal quality and pitch. And I think for me personally, that was a good way to go about it. Because I honestly didn't have any preference as to, you know, what vocal quality people had. And I know sometimes that does matter. Sometimes it does.
Right.
It depends on the show and the character. But for this, I was like, it's just about real people existing in the world. So, and people sound all kinds of ways. The only thing I was concerned about is that no one mixes me up with anybody else just because I'm narrating so much. It was like, I didn't want them to think my narration was like a new character or something. That would be a little weird. Okay, so I know you have to scoot out of here fairly soon. Yeah. So I'm gonna, I have three questions.
Okay.
That I would love to ask you.
Okay.
One thing I'm trying to do with Seen and Not Heard is talk about kind of the nuance of the deaf experience, and that there are good things and bad things about it, and sometimes that comes from within, sometimes it comes from the outside. So I would love to know, first of all, what is the thing that is the hardest for you about your hearing loss, either with your own experience or coming from the outside, from other people or interacting with the world?
Yeah, I think just talking to people about it. I don't tell a whole lot of people that I struggle with hearing, because they always do that, like, there's a look they give of, like, when they realize that you're disabled. And I'm like, I don't want that from people. And then they always, it feels very, like, performative for them to try and adapt to things that would help me out. So I always end up being the one who has to adapt.
That's for sure. There is, when you said that look, I know exactly the one. And then they, like, want to pat themselves on the back for doing anything. Like, and it's like, all right.
No, stop.
Or just gets, like, real personal real fast. And it's like, I just met you. Could we not?
It opens up a line of questioning that I just don't have the energy to go down anymore.
Right. Yeah. Like, occasionally I'll do it. And I've kind of forced myself to have to be okay with it, considering this project that I'm doing. The fact that I put myself out there so much as someone who's hard of hearing, who's deaf, and I want to, that is very much part of what I want to do, is tell those stories, but that also does mean I have to kind of, like, deal with that a lot. Or they're like, oh, yeah, I'm hard of hearing. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's like, no.
I'm not. I'm okay.
Yeah, like, it's fine.
Thank you, but I'm good. Yeah. If you're so sorry, then speak up.
Yeah. Then don't get mad at me when I say what 1,000 times.
Oh, my God. Or, like, okay. One thing I have noticed, I'm totally veering off, but one thing I've noticed is that when a hearing person says what, they get the repeat.
Yeah.
If someone knows that I'm hard of hearing and I say what, I don't always get the repeat.
Right. I get,
what the hell is that?
I get, like,
I'm the one who needs it.
I'll say what, and they'll, like, ask a different question. And I'm like,
right.
And I'm like, no, just, I need the first question first, please.
Yeah. Or, like, they make fun of it, like, if I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. And they'll go, like, what? Back at me. I'm just like, I will absolutely fight you. I will absolutely. I have reached this point in my life. Oh my God. I channeled a lot of rage into that speed dating prologue. I was just like, I'm going to make Thomas the worst bastard man in the universe. Yep. And we can all hate him together.
And you did.
Graham's such a good sport. I was so mean. I've told people I barely wrote a thing for him. Almost everything he says comes from real life.
Oh God.
He's the worst. No. But that is the thing that is so frustrating. It's like if you ask someone to say something more clearly, mm-hmm. too. It's sort of, I've likened it to if I'm sitting in a dark room and I can't see my book, mm-hmm. and I ask someone, hey, can you go turn the light on? It's like if they walked over to the light switch, didn't touch it, and then sat back down and then didn't understand why I still couldn't read my book. Like, you didn't do anything. You didn't change the situation. Okay. Whew, that feels good to get off.
Yeah.
that felt nice. Okay. So that kind of leads into the next thing, which was, what do you wish hearing people understood about your experience?
How frustrating it is. And the fact that not everyone can afford to get, like, hearing aids or like, I don't have insurance. I'm working full-time and won't get insurance for another 2 months because of the way bullshit Virginia laws are. And so, like, I don't have the time. Wow, I'm sorry. Hold on. Did they censor the word bullshit?
Oh, they censor all the swears.
Are you fucking kidding me? It's really annoying.
I know.
Okay, you know what? Fuck it. That's one thing I want to let hearing people know. Is we are not kids just because we can't fucking hear. We are not babies.
It's so that fucking annoying.
Captioning is bullshit. That captioning all that is bullshit with YouTube. Ugh. Netflix censors captions or doesn't put specific captions in. I understand that it's tough to do like censoring on shit like that, but also you're helping out people who literally have no other choice than to read or listen to captions. They are not kids because they don't have the ability to hear. Sorry.
Thank you. Yes. I didn't it's like they think that just because my hearing has whatever, that I've lost hearing, like I've regressed into childhood or something. I'm like, that's not how that works. What the hell?
No.
And it's frustrating too when people caption their own stuff and won't censor the audio, but will censor the. I'm like, then censor both or something. Like, I don't understand it.
There was a big thing back when YouTube first got captioning. Well, people wouldn't put the actual captions; they would write their own notes in the captioning.
Oh yeah,
and I'm just like. Come on.
Oh, God. And it's, I don't remember who it was, but it was someone who, someone asked them, like, hey, can you caption your stuff? Mm-hmm. And they basically were like, no, it's too hard. And they were like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is the only way that a lot of people can access it.
Yeah.
And they said, well, then my content must just not be for you. And I just wanted to throttle someone that on that day. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's not even just, like, deaf and hard of hearing people who benefit from captions.
Right.
You know, people who have to listen to it quietly for whatever reason. Or people who, maybe it's not their first language. Or, I mean, there's really, or just hearing people who, like, missed something. It happens. Like, there's no downside to accessibility. Anyway, no. I could go on for a while.
Yep.
And now my blood is up, so I'm going to circle us back to something nice, which is, what is something about your experience with hearing loss that has actually maybe been a positive or, like, an unexpected upside?
I have a great taste in music. So music for me is very important because of the way I fucking love music. I love listening to things. Yes. And so a lot of, as my hearing has regressed, a lot of the music I've found is stuff that I can listen to loudly and still fit the mood for it. And so, like, I love music that I can listen to just screaming down a highway.
Yes.
And not have to worry about, like, something being too soft for me to be able to hear it, or again, mm-hmm. that like that difficult balance of something being too soft and then too loud, and I have to constantly fiddle with the volume. And it's gotten me, it's given me, I think, more of an appreciation for the stuff that I listen to. Another fun thing is most of the loud music, the loud streaming music, is also very anti-capitalistic and anti-government.
Yes!
So that's also a positive.
Hell yes. That's the best. That's such a good feeling. There is a feeling of power when you are, like, I live in a rather conservative town. So when I'm listening to my loud, Eat the Rich music in my car, I feel like a spy. Like, it feels really good. I'm like, you have no idea who's in the car next to you. It feels good. I like that the captions capitalized Eat the Rich.
Eat the Rich.
Like, specifically.
Hell yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, that makes up for the censoring a little bit. All right. Well, that is kind of everything that I have. This was really fun. Yeah. I'm so glad we could do this. I'm so happy to have you involved with Seen and Not Heard. Like, it just it means a lot to have you on.
I'm so glad you let me join y'all in Seen and Not Heard. It's such a good show.
Thank you for joining us. Another one of these conversations will be released before too long, so keep your eyes out for that. As always, thank you so much for supporting Seen and Not Heard. You can find us on Twitter at SeenNotHeardPod or email us at SeenAndNotHeardPod@gmail.com.